Yeah, I remember when I was a DJ, I used to have to keep a couple of quarters in my pocket to put on a record player so it wouldn't skip. And I had 8-track tapes, and all the commercials were 8-track tapes and announcements, and then I had some cassette tapes, and then I had CD players, so it was kind of like all around me, it was all of the above, and people were giving requests. I'd always be kind of shaken when they'd say it wasn't something that's only on record, because I'd have to put those quarters up there and pray that it didn't skip as it was going around. Get your Bibles out. Romans chapter 15. God is awesome. How many want God to do something in your life? Amen. Before we read the Word of God, here's what I want you to do. Romans 15. Before we get in the Word of God, here's what I want you to do. And everybody, first, I want you to just take a deep breath through your nose and go out through your mouth. Ready? And I want you to say, I am relaxed in God. Go do it again. I'm relaxed in God. Okay. Now I want you to get your outline. I want to get your Bible. And I want you to forget about everything that's happened to you today. Remember the good things. But don't mind, I said, for this moment, for this 1 hour or 130 minutes, I want you to forget about everything that's happened to you today. I don't want you to be distracted. I want you to put away any kind of distraction you've got right now. Put it away. And watch this. Ready? We're going to learn something that's going to help us. How many want to be helped? How many think you can't be helped? Quit pointing. Okay. Romans 15. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Remember what I told you? I didn't just say it to be saying it. I said it before and I'm going to say it a lot more coming up. God hasn't called us just to do what makes us feel good. God's called us to do what is right. Don't y'all shout me down. God don't just call us to do what makes us feel good. We can do that too. He lets us do that. But he calls us to do what is right. And doing what is right doesn't always feel good, but in the end it's pleasing God. If all I ever do is just do what I feel good about, then I'm pleasing self. But if I'm doing what is right, then I'm pleasing God. So here we go. When we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Again, this is not about me. It's about somebody else. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Whatsoever things were written aforetime was for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and laud him, all you people. And again, Esaias said, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to also admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in the same sort as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, and the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Father, bless your word. Help us, God, to understand your word. Father, this night, help us understand the seriousness of this hour. Help us to understand that what we learned tonight, whether we were paying attention or not, we're going to be held accountable for it because it was given. And help us, Lord, to take it and do something with it positive because you are watching. Father, we honor you. We worship you. This night, there are people going to hell in droves, and we can make a difference. Sister Stephanie showed us tonight how much a difference we can make. I ask you right now, Father, to help us to be ready, loaded with the gospel gun, to bring the message to those that are hurting around us. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. The church said, amen. Now, of course, I'm just going to read through the first couple of weeks. I started to finish church tonight, but then the more I read it, the more I said, no, I'll just do H next week. So we got church. We ain't got church. We got church. Okay. The church is not the building made up of boards and bricks, nor a lifeless organization, but a living organism made up of people who have been born again by the blood of the Lamb. We are to represent our Savior while here on earth, within the church and without. That's why Jesus calls us salt and light. The scripture describes the church, and we just read it. You, the strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. And then we're doing acrostics. The first one, of course, and I just read all the scriptures. The first one, of course, is comforters. We are called to lift up the fallen and encourage the weak. We're to remember by our Savior's example, it's not about us. Somebody said it's not about us. All right. H, humble. Humility and pride do not go together. You cannot have one. You can have one or the other, but not both. Humility is a position. Humility is not a position, so to speak. Don't seek position, but accepts it. Okay. Now, unity. Jesus taught us to be one. He prayed for us to be one. There's a difference in unity and uniformity. We talked about that. Rejoicing, rejoicers. Christ or Christians have more reason to rejoice than anyone. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And then tonight, and we're going to just camp here for the next 4 or 5 hours. You might need to get an extra pen and some more paper. Okay, get ready. Concerned. Concerned. God has called us to be concerned. It is so easy to come to church and not be concerned. It is so easy to walk amongst the hurting and not be concerned. It is so easy. A lot of times doctors, when they go into hospital, they've gone through all these years of training and they've got something happen to them called dehumanized. And so a doctor will look at you and you're talking about you got cancer, and he goes, well, you probably got 3 weeks to live. You need to get your house in order. That's not how I want to hear it. I was a chaplain at Bishop Johnson Hospital, and one night I got called in for a code blue, and I'm there at the code blue, and while I'm sitting there, the person coming through the emergency room, the wife found her husband out in the yard, laying in his car. His car door was open. He was laid out of it. She got him, and she thought he'd gone to work. She got him. She brought him in. We're in there talking, and there's one doctor that was about as most dehumanized as any doctor I've ever seen. I was with her for over an hour while he tried to revive him. He come in and said, here's how it was now. What kind of medicine did you say it was on? And she named off all the medicines. Then he said, what kind of regimen of exercise? And she named off all the stuff. And he named off about 5 or 6 different areas and went all this detail. And after he got all this detail, he said, we lost him. I never in my entire life wanted to grab a doctor so bad. He could just come out, but there was another doctor to work in the same place, and this doctor would come out, and he would literally, with tears in his eyes, would say, we did everything we could, and we could not save him. Please, please, look to God for strength, and forgive me, I tried. Now, that's the guy that I wouldn't go tell my wife. Not the first guy that was dehumanized. The problem is with all the stuff we see on TV, all the violence we see just on the news, and all the violence we see around us in school, and all the violence we see all around us everywhere, and all the stuff we see, is very easy for the Christian to become dehumanized. We see the stuff and don't even bother us anymore. We see things that at one time would have ripped our heart out. Not anymore. Because we see it so much. And there are so many charlatans out there that take advantage of you, that you try to show compassion, and they come in and they just rip right through you, and then you say, I'm not going to show anybody more compassion anymore. So there's so many things that can dehumanize us. But what's so important is in the middle of the dehumanization of the church, it is important to ask God to help us have a genuine concern for the lost. God has got to hurt my feelings. God hurt my feelings when I see people out there that are not in church. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I drove up and there were some little guys out here riding their bikes, doing stunts off of the front porch. I saw them, and as I rode up, I saw them, and I was trying to get them to come to me. So I did like that. I reckon they felt like I was doing like that, because as soon as I got in my car, they run. So I was here, I think it was Sunday night. No, it was one night we were practicing. Last time we practiced for praise and worship. I walked outside because I saw them. And they saw me and they started to run. And I said, stop, fellas. I didn't holler, stop, I'm going to call the law. I said, stop, fellas. Come here. I said, y'all got some awesome riders. Let me talk to you. And they started talking. They come over to me and I said, I got some info and a challenge for you. And they said, what? I said, you know, when you're riding up here, you can hit that glass and cut yourself all up. You can get your bike caught in those rails, and you can really break something or hurt yourself. And that's going to be bad. I said, well, we got some ditches over here that only real men can ride in. Only true bikers can take that ditch. I said, any sissy can ride the steps. A true man can take that ditch. Appealed to them. And I said, fellas, from now on, you feel like you need to ride and jump over top of this stuff, I want you to get in that ditch. I want you just to let it rip. And their mama come walking by. And she looked at me and smiled. And she said, thank you. You see, don't be dehumanized in all that's going on around us. Don't forget there's people out there that if it weren't for the grace of God, you'd be that guy in the ditch with a needle in your arm. Philip, hey bro. Huh? Oh, I can't believe that. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. My boss man was an atheist. And when I left Procter & Gamble, he told me just before I left, as I was walking out the door, he looked at me and said, you know what? He said, I was a professing atheist when you came to work for me. And he says, I've been watching you. He says, you know what? He says, pray for me. He said, I'm not there yet, but I believe there's a God. Yeah, so that's what you got today. That's right. Live it before. live it before him. Someone's always worse. That's right. Well, we need to ask God to help us. See, that was an opportunity to minister today. Everybody's talking about opportunities to minister. We need to ask God to help us not be so dehumanized or so distracted by what we're doing that we can't see other people's problems and the things they're going through. Paul had this concern. Jesus thought his whole ministry was full of this concern. Now, I will read this scripture right here, Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went, y'all wait for y'all to turn to it. Matthew 9 and 35. Matthew 9 and 35, it says, and Jesus went into all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease amongst the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. I want you to listen to that. Moved with compassion. I'm going to talk about it in a minute. He was moved with compassion. He was moved with pity and sympathy for them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now that's some, if you start reading the original Greek, you're going to see some very heavy stuff here. And we're going to talk about it next week. We're going to finish this up next week. We're just going to stop with the compassion part. Concern for the Christian should be a verb. When I say verb, I mean concern should drive us to do something. We always ask or expect somebody else to do something. Well, let somebody else take care of it. Let somebody else fix that. Let somebody else. God will use somebody else. And I sit back and I watch over many years, and I've seen things that fell through the crack because they always waited for somebody else, and somebody else said the same thing. And nothing happened. So it's important for us to understand that Jesus, when he went through the crowd, he was moved with compassion. They were moved with compassion. Watch this. First, let me stop here. There's a verb that moves us to action. When you see somebody hurting, when you see somebody doesn't have enough, when you see somebody that is less fortunate than you, when you see somebody that's hurting, we need to be listening to the point that we hear the pain. And when we can hear the pain and be sensitive to God's Spirit, God will be talking to us and telling us how to help this person. So first, it moves us to action. And usually, in order for that action to be effective, it's going to have to move beyond our comfort zone. Somebody say amen. Because if you don't move beyond your comfort zone, actually, that hadn't really moved you. If I'm just going to do what I was going to do anyway, then, hey, has my heart been moved to compassion? So it's important. It's moved beyond our comfort zone to seek ways to express and deliver authentic help. That's three things. When we seek concern, it should be a verb, something that's active in our life. Our concern should be active. Active to the point we don't say, well, let somebody else do it. There is some things you need to let somebody else do. If somebody needs an operation, I am not going to do it. Thank you. That's right. And if I see somebody that needs a tooth pulled, I ain't going to do it unless it's my grandbaby. And maybe I see somebody that got a problem with their car or their computer that I can't handle, but you know what I can do? I can lead them in the right direction to find the right person. Or I can actually get off them. I'll tell you what, if you don't have a car, I'll take you around until you get your car fixed. Or if you don't have this or that, then let me tell, ask me how you can. I was at the gas station last night. And while I was at the gas station last night, a guy came running up to me. I didn't even see him. Guy came running up and said, my hero. I didn't know the guy. I didn't think. It was dark. He looked back at the other guy and said, that's my hero. And I was... I was looking around and said there was somebody else he was talking about. And I'm pumping gas and thinking she'll stop pumping gas and start cranking the car or what? And by the time he finally got to me, I realized this guy had seen him years ago. And years ago, he had asked me to put him on Mighty Army, the Mighty Army text. And he said, "Buddy, you don't know how many times that's helped me. I just want to thank you." And I was trying to look, and his car was had the hood open. And so I said, "What's wrong with your car, man?" He said, "I got a bad sensor, and it gets hot. When it overheats, I got to park it." And I said, "Can I help you? Is there anything I can do to help?" He said, "Not really." I couldn't offer him any mechanical advice, and so I said, "You know what? Right down the road, AutoZone will check your car for free. And they'll tell you which sensor that is for free." And he said, "Really?" I said, "Really, it won't cost you a dime." He said, "Well, let my car cool down." And all God said, "Can I help? Is there anything I can do to help you?" And all he said was, "You just keep sending those messages." And walked off. I felt bad when I drove away. I saw him out there looking under the hood of his car. But I asked him, and I even told him where to go. You know, but again, we need to be moved. God, move us beyond our comfort zone. Move us beyond our comfort zone and seek ways to express and deliver authentic help. People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. And people, honestly, they want to see somebody that's genuine. I'm going to talk about this in the next few weeks, but there's a word called sincere, and we're going to talk about sincere. I'm getting ahead of myself, but not everybody's going to hear this, and y'all don't tell on me. Sincere, when it talks about the sincere love and sincere milk of the word, sincere. When you see sincere in the Greek, sincere means without wax. When people sold pottery back in the old days, in the biblical days, some of the guys would crack their pots or have cracked pots, and they would sell them as new because they would take wax. And they would put the wax in the cracks. And then they would paint over the wax. And you thought you had a good bowl or a good pot. And as soon as you got hot water in it or used it for a while, the wax would melt or fall apart. So to notice you were getting a genuine bowl that did not have cracks in it, it would have written on it when you bought it, sincere, without wax. God wants us to be sincere. Amen. It's important because people are hurting out there. Nowadays, more than ever, you say, "Well, I don't know who to minister to." Go outside. Walk within 100 foot of this church, you'll find people. Walk within 100 foot of your house. Walk within 100 foot of Walmart, 100 foot of Food Line. They're everywhere. They want help. Well, 100 yards in the country. Okay. Okay. So now, here we go. The Bible says he's moved with compassion. That means literally. How many's ever heard of the word tearjerker? That movie was a tearjerker. How many's ever seen something honestly that when you saw it, it made your stomach hurt? Have you come up and seen an accident or heard a story about somebody, and when you heard the story, it actually hurt your stomach? You know what that is? That's your bowels moving with compassion. Jesus is one of the strongest words in the Greek. When Jesus saw these people, he was moved with compassion on them. For they fainted. The word faint and faint means to loosen, to break up, to destroy, to dissolve. And he said they were scattered abroad. And that word scattered doesn't mean they just ran. It means literally Satan was just picking them up and throwing them. It means to fling. Circumstances were just flinging them. Satan was just flinging them. And so you saw these people loose. They didn't have any foundation, and they're being flung everywhere. You can see it today. Look out in the streets. You can see it today looking in homes. You can see it today looking in schools. And God says, "I need some people with sincere, without wax, concern for these people." It's important. So, like, when we go to prison, I try not to find out what they've done, because the least amount I know about them, the more compassion I can have. All right? So again, I was reading this, and I saw this, and there's just something hit me hard, and I want to talk about this for a few minutes, and then I'm just going to let us pray. Again, church, comforter, humble, unity, rejoicers, concerned. So here we go. Luke 15. Y'all want to turn there? Luke 15. Luke 15, verse 1. Verse 1, I love this verse. Because it says, then drew near unto him the public, all the publicans, and the sinners, to hear him. Every publican means tax collector. And back in that day, tax collectors were very, not like today, tax collectors back then were very unlawful. I was just saying, if y'all paying attention. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure their hard drives got messed up too. And sinners. That word sinners means notoriously wicked sinners, the worst of the worst. They came near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now this is the religious folk. And he spake unto them, saying, which man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, layeth on the shoulders rejoicing. And when he come home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying, and rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which is lost. I send you likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. I wrote some things down in your outline here. I want you to look at it. The sheep. We're all the sheep. There's not us and them. We all are sheep. I remember that night I was preaching on Psalm 23 in the prison. I looked at those guys and said, and I was reading Psalm 23, and I said, fellas, I said, y'all guys think y'all bad. I said, but y'all ain't as bad as Jesus is. He's tough. I said, he can handle your troubles. Do you believe me how bad he is? Sheep. I'm going to tell you about these things right here, four things about sheep. First, they're senseless. You know that sheep will wander off thinking they know better than the shepherd. Sheep will wander off, perhaps even getting distracted by something it sees. They're senseless. A sheep will start walking and not stop until something stops. You know, a sheep actually will walk in the water and drown. If it's going toward the water, it'll walk right toward the water. It'll step in the water, and it'll keep on walking until it drowns. That's a sheep. God called us sheep. And that's bad. Yeah, that's bad. That's good, girl. Do you know that sheep also are defenseless? They're unable to protect themselves from danger. They can't even sense danger. Sheep are also directionless. They bring feelings of emptiness and meaningless because they have nothing to guide them. That's why they have to have a shepherd. And the shepherd will find the smartest sheep in the bunch. And he'll take that smartest sheep in the bunch that will listen to direction, and he'll put a bell around that sheep's neck, and it's called the bell sheep. And as he takes that sheep and moves that sheep, when they hear that bell, they will follow the bell sheep as the bell sheep follows the shepherd. So they have to have direction. Without direction, they just wander. And they're helpless. They're without provision. They cannot care for themselves. Yeah, you know, I did a sermon series on 23rd Psalm, but on the 23rd Psalm it says, he restoreth my soul. Do you know a sheep will eat until it can't eat anymore? And then it'll fall over on its side. And then its feet come up. And it can't move. It gets full of gas. And it dies. Think about this now. A sheep falls down after it eats, it rolls over, its feet come up, and it lays there because it can't get up. It lays there, and the gas builds up, and it dies. So the shepherd comes along and tilts the sheep back over. You know what that's called? Restoring the sheep's soul. So he says, in the valley he restoreth my soul. Wow. So he puts that sheep back up on its feet. Some of y'all might be going through the valley right now, but understand that God wants to put you back up on your feet. Amen? So here's the thing about the sheep. Yeah, go ahead. It's not that they don't experience fear, because one sheep can holler and start running, and the rest of the sheep will follow him. They experience fear, but they can't sense danger. So when one's being attacked, then the others will get afraid and they'll run. Yes, they'll scatter then. But they'll walk right into the wolf's jaws, so to speak. Sheep. We thank God called us sheep because they're nice and cuddly and full of wool and nice and neat. But you know what? He called us sheep because we're like this. We'll walk off and do some crazy mess. We'll get turned over, need to be flipped back up. We'll walk right into it. We'll get direct without the word of God. We're directions. We're helpless. They can't defend themselves. So, I mean, they don't even have enough teeth to defend themselves. So it's just a sheep. A sheep, what they do is, when they finally do sense it, they run. But usually it's too late. Did I answer your question? Okay. So now look at the shepherd. Here's concern. The shepherd noticed. He's got 100 sheep, and he notices that one gone. Is that not true concern? He's got 100 sheep, and he notices that one is gone. That's sincere concern. So now, you know, it's disappointing when people come into the church or come into our life, or they come into our life for whatever reason, you work with them, or you just happen to be with them somewhere, and you feel the Spirit pricking at your heart because they're hurting or they need something, and we just say, oh, well, somebody else will talk to them. God wants us to be concerned. Like these sheep. The shepherd noticed. Then, not only did the shepherd notice, but the shepherd got out of his comfort zone. He left the 99, and he went after that one, because that one might not have had a lot of value to the other 99, but that one had a lot of value to the shepherd. Then the Bible says that the shepherd searched. He searched and he searched until he found the sheep. I don't know if it was the very first one when David West came and did that art that he did with the black light. And it may even be the one that's at your place, but I think it's a shepherd reaching down. Is that what's your place? Okay, it's somewhere. The shepherd reaching down to grab the sheep that's over the side of the cliff. He searched, and he searched, and even put his own self in danger. And then the Bible says he carried the sheep. Now, there's two things about carrying sheep. I dare to say the second one, but I will just say the first one right now. If y'all want me to tell you the second one, I will. Y'all want me to tell you two reasons why he puts them on his shoulder? Y'all want both reasons? Okay. The first reason is sometimes he's just picking up the sheep, and the sheep's cold, and the sheep is hurting, and the sheep has been out in the exposure, and so he picks up the sheep and he carries it because he wants the sheep, he wants to bring comfort to the sheep. The second reason, if he has a sheep that keeps doing that and won't stop, the sheep keeps wandering, and the sheep keeps wandering off, and the sheep keeps getting in danger. After several times of going after that sheep, when he finds the sheep after several attempts, you know what happens? When he finds the sheep, he breaks his leg. The reason he breaks his leg, he's saying, I'm going to keep it from running. So he breaks his leg and he puts it over his shoulder and he carries it until the leg is healed. So that's love. He breaks his leg, but he carries it till it's healed. Now, in my own life, I felt God break my leg before, but he also carried me until it healed. So I asked God, do you want the second one? So I went in and told you. And then the shepherd rejoiced. Now, this is sincere concern. How many people do you know that may need to hear your voice along with somebody else's? Needs to feel your compassion along with somebody else's compassion. Needs to understand that somebody else cares for them. God wants us to have concern. Now, next week's going to be cool because it's about harvesting. Harvesting's awesome. You know, I mean, I thought concern was going to be more of a jumping sermon than it is. It seems like it's kind of not so jumping. But concern. God, my prayer every day is, God, give me concern. When I'm walking in this church praying, and when I pray, I try to make it a habit at least walking around it seven times at a time when I'm praying. I like to think about it as Jericho, walking around. And when I walk around, I put my hands on the pews that I know that you normally sit in. And when I get to your pew and I put my hand on your spot, if I know something you may be going through, I ask God to help you go to what you're going through. And then I ask God to give me compassion to help. I'm not pinning any medals on me. I'm just saying is, God, please don't let me become dehumanized by the stuff that's happening all around us. It's so easy. So easy. God, don't let me become dehumanized. Like that doctor, after all those questions, said, we lost him. That same doctor one night, one of the guys in my church had a stroke. And he was laying up there talking all kinds of crazy mess. He just got conscious. He's having a hard time even recognizing anybody. And you could tell by the signs, his mouth was drawn, his face was drawn, there's all kinds of, all the signs were there. And he looked over, and he looked over at the man's wife, he looked over at me, and his wife says, what are you going to do with him tonight? He looks at me and says, what do you think I ought to do with him? And I said, well, Doc, he's had a stroke. You might want to keep him here. He said, oh, he's fine. And they took him to his car and set him in his car, and we had to help him back in the house. A week later, he was having surgery on his heart and the veins in his neck because he had had a stroke. I don't want to become so dehumanized that I can't see the symptoms. God, help us. Help us. Help us have concern. Now, that's all. We can make you a place at your altar. I mean, you can go to the altar, you can stay at your seat. I want you to ask God to help you not become dehumanized. Help us have that care. Like Jesus, leaving the 99, going to the one. Little girl on the seashore, she's walking along and she picks up, she sees a starfish. And the starfish has gotten over into from the water, has been washed ashore. And the starfish can't even move. I mean, the starfish is trying to move, but it can't, and it's getting ready to dry out. And she picks it up and she throws it back out in the ocean. And her daddy says, he says, you can't help them all. As a matter of fact, you know it don't matter for all of them. And she said it mattered to one. Father, help us have concern. Help us, Lord, to have concern for one another. Help us have concern for those in the church. Help us have concern for those out of the church. Help us, God, to understand this is the last day. And if we are going to make a difference, we've got to have concern. Not just for a few, but for anybody you send our way. Father, help us. Help us. Help us. God, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. And there's absolutely nothing that you cannot do. And Father, we need your help. Give us compassion. God, when we see it, help us, Lord. Whatever you've asked us to do with that person, it was just pray for them. Let us pray for them. Just say a kind word. Let us say a kind word. Whatever it is, Lord, help us. Help us. Help us. Help us. We thank you for it right now, Lord. Help us to be like you. You're our greatest example. Help us. When you carried that cross up Calvary's Hill, you were carrying me on your shoulders. And I thank you for it, Lord. When you carried that cross, you were carrying us on your shoulders. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I told you about this before, and again, it's not to pin any kind of medals on me, but I remember I was in food line. I think I told you. I know I told some of y'all about this. I was in the food line one night, and a checkout girl said, "Are you a doctor?" I said, "I'm far from a doctor." She said, "What do you do?" I said, "I'm a pastor." And she says, "I just want you to know about a month ago, you made me cry." And I'm thinking, I'm not that bad a customer, I know. And I said, "How did I make you cry?" And she said, "There was a woman in here trying to feed her kids. And she went to check out, and when she did, she was like $10, $15, $20 short for the food for her kids. And she said, you just turned around, didn't say a word, and put the money on the table and walked out on the checkout line." And I said, "That's a good thing. You know, you're crying." She said, "I see this stuff every day." And she says, "I don't see that every day." And she said, "I just want you to know that when you left, I had to run from my register because it just made me cry." And I walked away and I said, "Thank you, Lord, to know that it touched that woman that didn't have the money for her groceries, but it touched her, that maybe she can return that same thing to somebody else, to somebody else, to somebody else, to somebody else." True, sincere compassion. True, since no matter what they look like, doesn't matter what their age is, doesn't matter what color they are, you see somebody in need, and you have true, sincere concern. Wow. That's an awesome thought, isn't it? Don't you think it makes Jesus happy? When you go beyond just what makes you feel good, satisfying the flesh, and go to do what is right, satisfying God. Then you have hunger and thirst after righteousness. So come back Sunday. It's 4th of July weekend. So I'm still asking God to show me. I don't know what we're going to do to Beatitudes this weekend or do the 4th of July message or do both of them at the same time. I'm not sure. But we're going to have a good time. And no service on Sunday night because I know some of y'all are going to have things going on Sunday night. You'll have parties and stuff, and maybe have some friends in for the weekend because it's 4th of July, and you want to just enjoy yourself. Have fun with them. God bless you. And we might have a hurricane party too. Yeah. I know. But my church might have been closed anyway. Amen. I was in Starbucks today, and I was studying, and I got a big old sneeze, and I sneezed, and I'm telling you, it was a bad one. And a guy was over across from me and he said, "God bless you." And I said, "Thank you." I said, "If these had been false, you'd have been catching them." And he looked at me like, what are you talking about? I had to walk over and explain to him, if I had false teeth, they'd be in your lap right now. Amen. It's awesome. It's awesome. It is. You care about it. It's genuine. You can see it. It's sincere without wax. That's awesome. Amen. Good. That's good though, you listened. Amen. And sometimes you're in checkout line and just the Holy Spirit says, pray for that person in front of you, or pray for that person behind you, you know, where you see that person over there, pray for them, you know, and just say, Lord bless them, Lord. And sometimes he's checking your obedience and checking your concern. Are you really concerned? Are you really concerned? Am I doing what I'm doing because I'm getting my gratification, or do what I do because God's getting gratification. Amen? That's cool. Yeah, well, I do. I ask him constantly, Lord, help me have genuine concern. Because I honestly don't get a whole lot out of it if somebody comes up and they're just doing something because the wife said, go help him. You know, or somebody says, you know they're here, let me help you. But something, somebody goes, can I help you? Is there something I can do for you? Can I help you out? Amen. That's right. And then you got these ladies like this Italian woman who gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning and goes and checks on the burglar and then comes and tells me. Yeah. She wakes up at 4:30 and says, honey, you may need to go outside. There's somebody out there talking. I've gone and checked, but you might need to go check it out. And I said, dear, you have a husband. How about wake me up first and let me go out there? And bless his heart, it was my neighbor, and he was hollering at his dogs. That's what she said there's somebody else, but my neighbor was hollering at his dogs, and he didn't see me come up behind him, bless his heart, at 4:30 in the morning. His heart's working good now. Amen. But yes, again, genuine concern. But it's like the guy that come up in the house at 3 o'clock in the morning and it's pouring rain, and the guy and he was banging on the door, and his wife said, "Go check it out." And she said, "It's 3 o'clock in the morning, it's raining." She said, "Go check it out." So she goes, and there's a drunk man, and he's hollering, "I need a push." And he says, "It's 3 o'clock in the morning, you're drunk, you take care of yourself." And he goes back to bed. His wife says, "Who was it?" Says, "And the man out there says he needs a push." She says, "But go help him." She says, "He's drunk. He needs to get himself out of all the kind of problems." And she says, "Go downstairs and give him that push." So he goes downstairs and he starts looking around and don't see a car anywhere. He lets everybody swing and sit. And he's sitting there going, "I'm ready for that push." Okay. Let's all stand up before we get carried away. I think we're already there. Brother Patrick, dismiss us in prayer, please. Jesus wept. Goodbye.